Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive eater. Today is Monday, March 11th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, 4th edition, and we are on page 8. The third full paragraph. Today's readers are Wendy M. on the steps, Alex K. on the traditions, Sherry M. on the text, Becca R. will read the closing, and Lisa N. is our backup reader. The reference numbers, which I think I forgot last week, I apologize. For yesterday, Sunday, March 10th, the special edition is 21,210. That's 21210. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,211. 21211. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Wendy M. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thanks for allowing me to be of service. 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thanks, Jody. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for early membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you, Alex K., for your service. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 8, paragraph 3. I will ask Sherry M. to begin reading.
Yes, near the end of that bleak November, I sat drinking in my kitchen. With a certain satisfaction, I reflected there was enough gin concealed about the house to carry me through that night and the next day. My wife was at work. I wondered whether I dared hide a full bottle of gin near the head of our bed. I would need it before daylight. Oh, my name is Sherry M., and I am a gratefully recovered today from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, a deadly disease of compulsive overeating. Thank you so much, Jody E., for taking the meeting today and your service and everyone's service. This paragraph, you know, just the paragraph before, he's giving us a little glimpse of that this is his bottom, and then what will happen right after he hits bottom, which is some promises that he's going to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. And then now he's leading us back to right before he meets with his, Eskimo Ebby calling him and what it's going to be like. So how do I relate to this? Did I drink like, did I eat like Bill drank? Well, mine, I think everyone also has a different form here with the compulsive overeating. So we all have our own behaviors and habits and addiction cycles that are, unique to us in some way, but they all, I think, have one thing in a common. What I've learned about this disease is that we lose control. So I lose control, and food became my master, and that's what qualifies me as a real compulsive overeater, that I cannot predict what will happen once I start, and I can't stop from starting. And so this, you know, at the very, very end for me, I was 6 sizes heavier, so I was busting out of a size 16 at 6 months. I was driving through 3 fast food restaurants after work to get 3 different, you know, I had a specialty item at each place, so I must get the thing, the item, the thing that's going to bring me the joy. I'm at the grocery store, and I'm going down my favorite aisles in the middle of the grocery stores and getting my boxed and bagged items and my frozen delights. And then I'm coming home and shutting the blinds. I lived alone, and I am laying it all out on the coffee table in front of the TV. Back then, you know, there were VHSs. There wasn't the kind of TV Netflix that we have now, and I was, you know, watching movies, and I was binging my brains out, passing out from overconsumption, thinking I needed to go to the hospital. My stomach busting. My stomach was aching and pain. Then I'd come to from eating all that food and start again. Sometimes I wouldn't even go over into the kitchen to get a spoon, and I would just eat ice cream with my hands like an animal. And then I wondered if I was going crazy or if I should just kill myself, because nothing I did could stop me from eating this way. And I didn't have to hide anything because my life was full of addiction. So this is, you know, now I'm 33, 34 years old, alone. You know, no kids in sight for me because my addiction takes priority and my life is very, very bleak. And so that's what it was before my bottom. I can't wait to hear how everyone else identifies in with this, but there is hope and there's promises coming soon. So I pass. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I hope you have a great meeting.
Thank you so much, Sherry M. from Wyoming. Okay, although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share this morning?
Juanis
N.
Adela Jean. Della Jean, it's all one word.
Della Jean, okay.
Lisa N.
Lisa N.
Barbara A., California.
Barbara A. All right, we've got Juanis N. from California, Della Jean, Lisa N., and Barbara A. Please go ahead, Juanis.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanis N. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California by the grace of God. And yeah, I can relate to this. Okay, so I remember a particular time, try to keep from crying, but I remember a particular time of particular pain. And I like the way it says, with a certain satisfaction, not satisfaction, a certain satisfaction. And I remember that after I had gotten down to a size 0 in a support group with no 12 steps, but a support group. And I thought surely it was over. I had won. I had beat the game. I was a 0. There's nowhere more to go because that was, you know, the goal, my goal. And then I had gotten all the way back up to almost to my absolute top weight, which was well over 200 pounds. And I was just like, you know, just like ready to give up, just really seriously giving up. And I remember I was in a relationship and the time had come for me to make a reason to separate from him so I could go in my room. I had all my stuff hidden in my drawer, in my nightstand, in my underwear drawer, all my food hidden away. And I remember that, and I had bought this adjustable bed so I could lift my head up and be all comfortable. It has massage on it. I had mounted this 40-inch TV on the wall. All of that I did, and all of that money I spent so I could have this. It was a certain satisfaction. So I could sit there and eat and eat and eat and watch the same shows that I've seen a million times over and over and over again. And I know what, even though I was miserable, even though I knew I needed to do something about it but just didn't know what to do, I still had a certain satisfaction that I was going to be able to eat my brains out that night. And I know exactly what that feels like. It wasn't satisfaction. It was a certain kind of twisted kind of satisfaction, but it was still satisfaction because I was absolutely getting hopeless to do anything about it. Thank God for the 12 steps, and thank God for this process and all of you guys that showed me how to get to the power I needed to stop doing that, because I was absolutely licked. And, okay, that's all. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Juani Sen from California. Della Jean, please go ahead and let us know where you're calling from if you'd like.
I'm Della Jean, a recovering compulsive overeater from Idaho. Bottom for me, I had weighed pretty close to 200 pounds for over 50 years. Went to the doctor for a regular checkup, and I weighed 238, my highest weight, and I was 77. I've always been afraid of having to live in a nursing home when I get old. And I knew at this weight, I wouldn't be able, AIDS would not come into my home and take care of me. When I got to that point, I would have to go to a nursing home. That was number one. Number two, I have children and grandchildren that I love and want to spend time with. I want to spend time with them. And I knew if I kept this up, I was going to be old, fat, and tired and not want to get out of my recliner. And when they would call and say, Grandma, let's go to Hawaii, I'd say, no, thank you, but no, I'm happy. I'm happy to stay home and not get out of my recliner because I was too old, too fat, and too tired. And I didn't want that to be the rest of my life. That was my bottom. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Della Jean from Idaho. Lisa M., please share with us and let us know where you're coming from.
Good morning. This is Lisa N. from Wisconsin. Thank you, everyone, for being on the line today. It brought back a very vivid memory, and it was Easter, actually, and there was some kind of a vendor or whatever selling a box of something, and I ended up buying it, and I was very excited about it. I was all alone in the mall, and I bought this item for me. And I hid it in my bedroom drawer, my bedside table, and I had three children, and I did not want them to see it. And the reason I didn't want them to see it, the reason I hid, is number one, yeah, I didn't want them to know what I was doing. Although I was 230 pounds, people had to know that I was eating, overeating. But I didn't want to share. And when I don't want to share my money, my time, my food, I got a problem. Because that's going to make me miserable. And that's so important. It's such an important aspect of our program, service to each other and time and energy. But I was so obsessed that night after dinner with that box that I went back and forth and back and forth. I was tortured by it, but I was excited by it. It was very sick. And my home with my three little children was a disaster. There was chaos in it. And it's because I couldn't do dishes. I just had food on my brain continuously. And today I don't have that. And my kitchen gets cleaned up at night. My home is in order for the most part. And I have a good relationship with my family because of my higher powers intervention. So that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lisa N. from Wisconsin. Barbara A. from California, please go ahead.
Good morning, Jody. Thank you for your service. This is Barbara A., Central Coast, California, happily recovering compulsive overeater by the grace of God. I am so grateful for a meeting. I'm grateful for service, people who put these meetings together so that I can come and be a part of it, share my experience, my strength, my hope, to hear other people's experience, strength, and hope. That's what keeps me in connection with my higher power, coming to these meetings, listening, serving, sharing. I relate to everybody's talk about, you know, the concealing and the certain satisfaction. I'm just so grateful today that I finally listened to God, finally took that thought that I could control my food, that I was powerful enough to beat the food. Finally, after years of failure, of counting on myself instead of counting on God, did I turn and say, "This, I can't do this by myself." And the meetings and the program are a big part of that. I listen to people's recovery every day because I need that. I am a compulsive overeater. I will try, I don't know how many times I've tried to pick up the food again and said, "Well, this time I'll be able to do it. I've lost 100 pounds twice in my life. And this time I'll be able to do it. I don't need the help. I've finished the steps. I've done everything I need to do. I'm just going to go on by myself now." And it says that in our, either in our invitation to you or in one of the OA readings, that this is a disease that we cannot handle ourselves. We depend on our sponsors, yes, but we ultimately depend on our higher power who directs us and puts people in our lives to help us. Oh my gosh, it is powerful to read this and to experience in my mind that time, that bleak November in my life when I just was eating and wanted to make sure I had all the food that I needed because I was so insecure. I needed food. I didn't need anybody else. It was very selfish, very self-serving. Today, by the grace of God, I'm so grateful for this program. I'm grateful for all those people who put it together, who put their service into this meeting to make it possible for us all to hear. And someone said earlier that, I think the reader said, the promises will come. They're here. They're here for us to have these promises of, today I do not have to be alone. Today I do not have to pick up food. Today I have a program.
Fine.
So this is Barbara. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara, for your service. Okay. Although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. We are on page 8, the third full paragraph, which begins with "near the end of that bleak November." Who else would like to share?
Amy W.
Amy W.
Mary Lee R. R.
Jane Orkin.
Mary.
Lauren.
Lauren.
Lauren A.
Lauren A.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Okay. We've got Amy W., Mary B. R., Lauren A., Deborah G., if you let us know where you're calling from, it makes it easier for us to find you on our member list. Please go ahead, Amy W.
Amy W. from California. May I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you so much. Amy W., compulsive overeater, recovered for today. Wow. This has been on my mind for about 5 days and just waiting to get in. And we seem to be in a certain area in the book that is good but painful for me. My bottom was after I was abstinent for the first time. And I was just stepping over the threshold into the kitchen, and my husband had opened the refrigerator door, and I had prepped food. I was ready. I was there. I was going to be the best aware God ever saw. And I had prepped my food, and it was in the fridge, and he opened the refrigerator door, and my food for that day fell on the floor. And the horror in his eyes, when he looked up and his eyes met mine, the horror that he had, I will never forget. Did it keep me abstinent? Not at that time, but eventually. To see what I had done to another grown person, not even going to go into the rest of the family, has stuck with me to this day. But did it get me abstinent at that time? No, it didn't. But that was what I call my double bottom, realizing what this disease had led me to do to other people. And I thank you for letting me share, Amy W., California, and I pass.
Thank you, Amy W. from California. Mary Lee R., please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. This is Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon, in recovery just for today, and so grateful for that. And I'm looking out a window, and it's gray. It almost looks like snow. And so we just, you know, heard Bill's the bottom, but you know, the bottom can still sink down. And I hope I never forget the last hurrah cruise that my husband and I went on, because I was scheduled for gastric bypass when we got home. And I met a woman on that cruise that was in recovery and in program, and she planted a seed that grew through that 14-day cruise. I also gained 15 pounds in that 14 days. And when I got home, my life changed wonderfully, radically, amazingly. And one day at a time, recovery entered my life, and I don't ever want to forget that, that feeling of enough is never enough. And Jody, thank you so much for your service and everyone on the line, and the fact that my acronym for HOPE is Happy Our Program Exists. My ego's still around, and it's always it gives me little nudges, and especially in the morning, and that's my sacred time, and I'm so grateful. I'm not always up for the 4 a.m., but I can listen to it on recording, and you know, I'm not home right now. I'm at my sweetie's house, and so it's a portable asset that we can take this, and I'm just I'm grateful to be part of the herd. You know, I'm not any better and I'm not any less. I'm just part of the herd, and together we can do it and do it. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share. Bye.
Thank you so much, Mary Lee R. from Oregon. Let's everybody make sure you're muted, please. I heard some background noise. Lauren A., please go ahead. Lauren A., press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, this is Lauren. Sorry about that.
No
technology
problem.
You know, I got on the meeting exactly when the person was reading near the end of that November, so I didn't miss a word of her reading it. And when I first saw the paragraph, I thought, oh, I really don't know what I would share on that. But once I heard everyone else, I realized, there's a lot I can share. And sometime in February, I was at somebody's house who happens to have a lot of sweets around. And I made such a pig of myself. I ate every dessert and every piece of candy I could get my hands on. And then I ate more when I got home. And that night I had the worst liquid diarrhea in the world. I'm sorry for being so graphic, but I was in pain for hours. I was running back and forth from my bedroom to the bathroom. And I thought, well, this is it. This has got to be my bottom. I'm never going to get any worse than this. And I was telling people, you know, what I had gone through. And I said, you know, my husband went to an AA meeting once and somebody there had pancreatitis, which I've heard is one of the most painful things a person could go through. And yet he kept drinking. And I thought, I'm as bad as that guy and I'm going to quit. Well, I didn't, you know, I went back to it a few times. And then I went to a meeting online, a Zoom meeting that's called 12 Steps in 4 Hours. And I started out binging while I was watching it. And then I stopped. And that was February 26th, Sunday. And I've been good since then. But it's so good to listen to how bad it got for everyone. And I can relate to all of it. And I'm just so grateful that A Vision for You is here. I thank the moderator today and everybody else that keeps the meeting going. And I'm just praying I can stick with it. And I know what to do, you know, keep in touch with God, talk to my sponsor, do steps, do meetings, do sponsoring. So I'm just praying that I can stick with it this time because I don't want to see how much worse I can get. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren A. Deborah G., please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. A compulsive overeater, and thank you, Jody, for your service this morning and everyone's service making this meeting possible. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're here. You don't have to live like you're living. I was just reminiscing about the awareness that I got of what my alcoholic foods were. And yet there was one that I wouldn't let go of. And I kept playing around with it and doing all these things to try and control it so I could keep doing it. You know, it's like protecting it, you know. And I was in a workshop at the time that was for a year that I was going through doing the steps. Which was continuing to wake me up. And then in the middle of the workshop, you know, it was honesty. I really had to stop believing the lie that I kept telling myself. But in this paragraph, I don't hear any awareness with that yet. And so I kept using it and kept using it, justifying, rationalizing, protecting it, you know, until one day, excuse me, I was in this workshop and I did get awakened and I saw the reality. That was the thing. I wasn't living in reality. I was so caught up in the food and the delusion that I had and the dishonesty that I had because of the delusion that I kept doing it and doing it. And then I a fork in one hand, and I had this substance in another, and it was salt. And I kept putting it on every single bite that I ate. You know, I wasn't even tasting my food. It was awful. And it's like, okay. Then I finally got honest, and I got myself an OA Vision sponsor and talked about it and put it down and got through the steps so that I could get some freedom and some hope and connectedness with power that I didn't have, because I had no power and stuck. But I can relate to this, being stuck in that delusion and dishonesty, doing it over and over. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. We have time for a few more shares. Who else would like to share this morning? Page 8, paragraph 3, near the end of that bleak November.
Becca R.
Becca R.
Laura W. from New Jersey.
Laura W. All right, go ahead, Becca. Becca, press star one.
Hey, good morning. This is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. And what a great paragraph and a great memory to remember. I've been in a normal body size now for years, and I can sometimes forget how dark it was where I came from. And so I'm just delighted in the hope of Bill's story today. The hope that when he spoke about the bottom and the bottom leading up to the bottom, how many times I thought, this has got to be it. This has got to be my bottom. And yet I would find a trap door and my disease would take me even lower. And just like when Bill is experiencing his bottom, I know how the story ends. He didn't at the time, but I know what is yet to come. And it just brings me so much hope for myself and hope for the newcomer that it never has to be this way again. And I can remember people saying that to me in early recovery. You don't ever have to feel like this again. A slave to the food, like I'd been backed into a corner of powerlessness over this disease. Because I was able to tap into that higher power that is through the steps, you know, a result of the 12 steps. And I have this newfound power, and it's not within me, but it's within this relationship with a higher power, a God, a creator. And so I'm just feeling hopeful, to remember the bleakness, to remember the sadness and the bottom after bottom after bottom. And that it hasn't been that way since. There is so much hope here. And that's what I wanted to share. Thanks for the meeting. I'll pass.
Thank you, Becca R. from Kentucky. Laura W., please go ahead.
Thanks, Jody. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, thank you, everybody, for all of your wonderful shares today. I really related to all of the plotting and the planning that goes into my disease. And I am very, very grateful to not have done any plotting and planning for 19 plus years now. However, I can remember, like it was yesterday, the things that I did. You know, the hiding, the fat-free, sugar-free frozen yogurt in the freezer, like eating it out of literally a paper bag like an addict, a drunk does, on the street corner, you know, and this paragraph reminds me that there's a phrase that says there's a bottom below the bottom, you know, and, you know, Bill talks about from page 4 on, like, that was it, you know, that self-knowledge, you know, that
that was what I was going to do, and I got this licked, and, you know, I know that I can do this, and I'm never going to drink again. And then what happens in the next paragraph? He picks up again. And, you know, there's promises, though, in that bottom. You know, there's that promise, how dark it is before the dawn. It's just really good. They say not to regret the past, but, you know, don't shut the door on it. And this reminds me of how bad I can get in just a very short time. I'm not cured of this illness. I have a daily reprieve contingent upon the maintenance of my spiritual condition, contingent upon staying connected to God, continuing to stay, you know, working the steps and staying abstinent, of course. That's you know, that's a given. But also staying away from those behaviors, not just the foods, that cause me to live in my addiction. And those behaviors are resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, and fear. And when those crop up, not if, but when they crop up, I immediately have to do a 10th step, whether it's in my head and go to God. And if it still doesn't take it away, then I need to pick up the phone and call somebody. I mean, or then I need to write it down if it still doesn't go away. You know, so these are the things that I need to do on a daily basis so that I don't, you know, get into that quicksand that it talks about earlier in this page. And, you know, the more we fight quicksand, what happens? The deeper we go. So I'm grateful that there's a hope here. And I'm grateful, I do want to share that relapse is not a requirement in this program. Just, you know, I need to remember that. So one day at a time, we can have permanent recovery one day at a time. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura W. from New Jersey. And we have time for two more shares. Who else would like to share?
Polly Q.
Polly Q.
Janice K.
And Janice K. Thank you. Go ahead, Polly.
Hi, this is Polly Q, recovered for a few years now in, as a result of attending this meeting. But before that, I had white knuckling abstinence, and I remember my bottom. I was sitting on the couch, and I had, you know, given up white flour and sugar for years, and I was miserable. I attended meetings, a lot of them. I had a really close-knit group, most of which weren't recovered, and it was miserable. And I just silently said to myself, I guess this is as good as it gets. And what I was doing at that point was giving up. And I went out and I dug a hole for myself at year 13 of that white knuckling abstinence. And I just picked up a glass of wine a night, picked up an alcoholic, and he was dying in the room. Dying. He's going to die in about 6 months. And I thought, man, I am in trouble. And I thought, I missed something. I have two different programs. I've been in it for years, and I have missed something. And I picked up that big book, and I started reading it. And then miraculously, I remembered, incorrectly, by the way, who told me about it, something about this vision. And I found it online, and I got onto it. And what I heard different was not a food plan. Oh, my God. Not another freaking food plan. There's something wrong with a food plan. I have one, but I had one then. It didn't matter. What I heard was I have no program. I don't grow my relationship with a higher power through these steps. I don't work step 10 or 11. I worked step 12, you know, the couple, the poor people, the one or two sponsees that stuck in with me. I mean, I worked with them. It had no meaning to me, really, not much. I was soul sick. And that's why I ate. That's why I was a food addict, because I was soul sick. And I could not get abstinent and stay abstinent. It wouldn't have mattered how many years I was in this program, and I was in it for a long time, years and years. The delusion was over, and I was on my knees, and that changed everything. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Polly Q. And Janice Cafe, where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Janice K in Oregon. Oh boy. What hits me about this one is, of course, everything I can identify with everything that's been said. But I thought maybe my interpretation might be of use to someone. We suffer from something some people call eating disorders. Eating disorder, ED, and I've heard it referred to as the voice of Ed, the voice of the eating disorder. And this paragraph hits me as what my life used to be like when Ed took over. And I sat right behind the driver's seat, but Ed had the driver's seat. And there's many a bleak time in my life I've been sitting in my kitchen eating, and have, with a certain satisfaction, I would have it all spread out ahead of me. And there was enough stuff sitting out there to carry me through. Well, to carry me through. My spouse was at work. My kids were at school. I didn't wonder if I dared hide the full bottle. I wondered if I dared go to the store to buy more, because I would need more before the next day, because I wasn't in charge. Ed was. And it's that duality that I see in this paragraph, the feeling that someone else is driving my bus. Well, long story short, I came here. I worked the steps. I worked the steps on a daily basis. I began living the steps. Sometimes I think I used to have one coping technique, and now I have 12. So there is hope. Ed does not always get to be in charge. I can choose to put my higher power in charge, and that kicks Ed right off the bus. So thank you for listening. And
thank you so much, Janice Kay from Oregon. Okay, we are about out of time. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Becca R. please begin reading for us?
Hi, this is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.
Thank you so much, Becca R.